And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman & Hagman report for today. Today is the 24th day of February, 2016. I'm Doug Hagman in studio.
What did you just do?
You know what? Went off script. That's all right, buddy. That's all right. So, anyway, yes, we are broadcasting from our studios live here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Radio and television studios in Northwest Pennsylvania. Our home base on the internet, folks, is HagmanandHagman.com. That's HagmanandHagman.com. Other websites, of course, HagmanReport.com. There you can get all of our news, information, analysis, and, of course, my place on the internet, HomelandSecurityUS.com.
Which is over 13 years old now, I believe.
Yeah, something like that, indeed. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm, of course, with film investigator researcher Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. Much to talk about. You know, the alternative media is under attack, and it's under attack in so many ways, shape, in so many different areas. Alex Jones has talked about this on numerous occasions. Steve Quayle has always talked about this, and so many other.
Yeah,
entities, you know.
In the work I've been doing, research and putting together some articles that will be up hopefully tomorrow. I've had to deal with this issue: the Department of Homeland Security, the extremists, the domestic extremist lexicons, their definitions, and looking at again, you know, their latest and comparing it to their older. Lexicons explaining what they believe a potential domestic extremist is. Now, we all know from the 2009 lexicon that it was very broad. And when I say broad, anti-abortion groups, for one, Christian identity.
Tea parties. I mean,
alternative just, media.
Yeah, yeah.
The term used to describe various information sources that provide a form of interpretations of events and issues that differ radically from those presented in the mainstream media.
That's right.
That's a potential domestic extremist category.
Any public displays of dissension against the narrative, against the against the regime, whether it be Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. Anything that's anti-government, and when I say anti-government, we're not talking about extremist in our definition or in the reasonable definition. We're talking about extremists in the definition that, no, you don't agree with us, this is bad, you're wrong. Not only are you wrong, you're more than wrong, you are criminally wrong and incorrect, and this is and here's the issue, and here's why this is important, because now, over the last several weeks, the redefinition of the redefinition of the crimes, and I'm going to use that word specifically, the crimes, the criminal activity, because this does fall under the criminal code as opposed to the civil code. This falls under the criminal code. So it would be a crime then, and you're going to see the criminalization of speech against anything against the government. Now that goes to the federal. Well, and that's a separate issue. Then you've got, from there, you've got the religious intolerance and the, you know, the bigotry and hatred aspects, which molds in watchdog groups, self-appointed in some cases, government-sanctioned in others.
Yeah.
And you've got this weird amalgamation of government and private entities that are after the alternative media. Folks, we're feeling it here. I know other media areas or entities are feeling it too. They're not going to come out. We're not going to come out and tell you what's going on. They're not going to come out and tell you what's going on, because in order, if we did that, it would just be, in terms of giving specifics, it'd be only because we just can't. I mean, it just suffice it to say that
we can't.
We can't be specific in terms of, well, let's say, on a personal level here, or on a personal level with other entities or other alternative media groups. What we can say is, these are the trigger mechanisms. These are the groups involved, and these are the potential consequences. Now, I say that only to mean that. That you put those together, then you can see, okay, now we understand where everything is headed. In other words, you've got a number of concerns. You've got we don't like the unlawful searches and seizures. That's against the government. We don't like the influx of illegal immigrants in this country. That is a separate entity. That is covered by separate entities and covered by separate groups.
You're actually an extremist if you hold anti-immigration views.
We have lights over here. Did you know that? There's a light there.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I apologize for the the phone flashlight. Our studio network has some glitches in it, and we have been sharing a connection between my father and I.
Well, I don't need it. If you want it, you can have it.
I was going to pull up this lexicon, but going from memory, I guess I don't need to. You have listed as domestic extremists people who hold anti-government ideologies, regardless of how they operate. Whether they are, and it even specifies, regardless if, you know, that it's constitutionally run or if it's run by emergency provisions. You have a domestic extremist if you are anti-abortion and hold anti-abortionist views. If you believe that the killing of babies is wrong, you are the extremist. The anti-immigration. We mentioned that. The alternative media, what we read at the open of the show. If you present information on issues that differ from those in the mainstream, you are a domestic or could be a domestic extremist. Somebody with a Christian identity, a militia member, or believes in patriotism, a constitutionalist, all listed by the Department of Homeland Security for over 7 years now.
That's right. And before we get started in earnest with our program, I want to remind everyone tonight that portions of this broadcast brought to you by nuts.com. We are nuts indeed. At least I am. I'm sure of it. Nuts.com. What a great website. Folks, just remember this. Nuts.com, microphone code HH. You know, we get hungry during the day. We don't have time to run out to eat lunch every day. We don't have time for much of anything. And if you've ever gone to the store, let's say down to the local convenience store, you see the sad state of affairs in terms of nuts and what have you. Well, nuts.com is the answer. We love it. Nuts.com gives you an amazing array of all sorts of fresh nuts, snacks.
Yeah, don't let the name fool you. It is not just nuts.
Dried fruit, sweet treats. I mean,
coffee.
Yeah, and they've got options for all diets, the best selections and tuttons to choose from. That's nuts.com, microphone code HH. We have a special for the Hagman and Hagman listeners. We will talk on that later. Excuse me. And, you know, as the program unfolds, we do have a special guest coming in tonight to talk about not just the assault and such on the media, but also to revisit, and we need to do this. We need to revisit the Scalia situation, the death, and that's going to be Sheila Zelensky, going to be coming up here shortly. But
yeah, there's been some comments made by the president.
Yep. Well, on jokes and comments.
Yes,
and
jokes, remarks.
The most despicable treatment of a human being, in my view.
I haven't heard it
by a lack of. Well, it's just.
From what
it was
you
just,
and Sheila say, they. Must be pretty.
Well, it's just, you know, look.
Heartless.
Yesterday we said this, we mentioned the word statesman. statesman. A statesman wouldn't do the things that we've seen this person do. All right. So anyway,
well, I would say a human would do a lot of the things that these people do.
Kind of like Bill Clinton with the old Ron Brown hole in the head, laugh at the funeral kind of BS, which either tells you how much regard they have for human life. But
at least he went to the funeral.
Portions of a nice broadcast. Also brought to you by WholeTonesLive.com. WholeTonesLive.com. We've gotten so many great letters. In fact, I sent a letter off to WholeTonesLive.com. Michael Terrell here. We got a letter in. Just a wonderful letter from a wonderful person. But WholeTonesLive, that is one of the best. That's the best, source of music that would soothe the most irritated person. The music frequencies of King David, biblical, my goodness. WholeTonesLive.com. Pay them a visit. Download their samples. Again, more on that later as well.
I want to throw out a little teaser, if I can, for some of the work I've been doing with the articles on the federal health architecture, or the coming unescapable healthcare system that won't be optional soon. I just want to ask you a trivia question. Audience members, or are you dead?
Pull our studio audience our vast studio audience. Look out there. We got about the 40th row in the back. The woman in the red sweater, blonde hair, waving her hand. Yeah, waving her hand. There you go. Go ahead.
What was the date or year of one of the first executive orders to put this plan in place?
What plan?
The mobile health implantable RFID chip for patient identification and health.
1985.
No. Not even close.
No,
2009.
1958. All right. See, no, I'm dyslexic.
1947, I'm sorry, the National Security Act of 1947 was part of it. But this is citing the government's reorganization plan number one, which led to Executive Order 11921 in January of 1976, adjusting emergency preparedness assignments and organizational functions in federal departments and agencies.
All right.
Which gave the agencies the ability to start inching their way into the Federal Register's writing laws instead of passing them through Congress.
Okay, so the topic here is about what?
Oh, I was just given a teaser of something I found surprising when looking through my resources in the last few days, of an executive order that cites a date back before 1960 as a reference point to when this, this plan's been in the making for a lot longer than any of us have been alive. And that's on a spiritual level. But on a governmental level, these people have been working to destroy the Constitution through the executive orders, through the fiat rule, and have been working to reorganize the government, and have done so in a way where they can make and create law as they wish. And in order to implement something so unconstitutional as a forced, well, I guess it won't be forced on you if it is the mark of the beast, but to offer or create by law a mandatory system that demands all citizens of the world participate or not be a part of that world.
All right, this is about the chip now, the RFID chip, right?
It's about the architecture of the, yes, right, of the system.
Okay.
And I was just surprised to see how far back that it actually went and how many presidents actually issued their own directives and executive orders under for this purpose. Even George Bush, and I was looking at some of Obama's. One of his first executive orders, the establishment of the White House Office of Health Reform. This was 2.5 years before his health care law passed, where he stated that they were going to reform the health care system. He says, that's my key goal of this administration. And he goes on to say what it suffers by. But how they're going to fix it is establishing the White House Office of Health Reform and the executive branch and agencies of the federal government will come through with comprehensive effort to improve access to health care, and they will establish the Secretary of Health and Human Services. This is how that organization was created. And, you know, that's not the only one that came out in his first year. He had several that deal with this issue. And like I said, 2.5 years before his health care law even passed.
Yep.
So these people know what they're doing. They're at the beginning of a football game they already played.
Well, that's correct. That's correct. And that's the subject of the RFID.
And that brings me to this, that how far behind the eight ball are we if they are so far ahead?
Well, of course.
And that's the point I wanted to make.
Well, this is much the same as the reclassification of the people who are labeled and being labeled and reclassified as enemies of the state. And if you look back, you can go back to the Espionage Acts back during the Cold War, right after World War II, and you can see that there was a concerted effort against the communist infrastructure and infiltration here in the United States to ferret that out. But what happened was, as the And this is Paul McGuire talks about this, but folks, just take a step back and take a moment, take a breath for a minute. And when we look at these issues, we see things like the counterculture, you know, where it's these supposed misfit group of musicians and children of really all of the musicians in the Laurel Canyon. In this one area, were the offspring of military personnel, okay? And mind control personnel, when I say that, I'm talking about the people involved in the mind control, men who stare at goats, Pentagon, CIA, that kind of thing. And you know, these people were all the singers and the people that were involved in Laurel Canyon were all the offspring of these officers. Now, having said all of that, okay, you had this repainting at that time. Well, these were all anti-war protesters. These were hippies, yippies, yuppies, tippies, whoopies. I don't know. Twist hair, you know.
Well, now
San Francisco in your daisies with no, they're the leaders. See, that's the problem. They're the leaders of this of what's going on the laws. Okay, but see, back then we were led to believe that these were the idiots that were anti-war, when in fact no, hold the phone. I mean, Frank Zappa, you think he was anti-war? Yeah, right. He was as pro-war as you can get. The mothers of invention. Anyway.
Well, they call them revolutionaries.
Well, look. See, so everything we've been lied to. Okay, we have been lied to. And this is why it's so important to understand that everything we've read in the history books and the papers that have been, you know, controlled by the Hearst and whoever is just a bunch of BS. All right, so here's...
If I could just say one thing.
Yes.
We have been lied to. But it's been more, we have been pushed away from the actual nuggets of truth. It's not that they've lied to us. It's that they've misled us, or it's that they
Wait,
have...
you want to define is? Would you want to take a moment and define? There, I'll sit you back know, and listen. Go mean? Ahead and define is. Well, what's the definition of is? You want to read?
We have, the truth has been out there. We talk about, and Paul, other guests talk about how the Illuminati and these people, these Satanists, publish their plans and they state their agendas before they even, you know, begin to implement or roll them out. They tell us through predictive programming and through their own writings, from their memoirs to policy papers, what they're going to do.
Right.
So can we say that they really lied to us if we just don't see it?
Okay, well, we've been lied to, but we've been gamed.
Yes, we have.
But that's the bottom line. But here's the other thing. So this is why the counterculture is so important when we talk about it, because we need to understand that this whole process began with the social engineering and Paul McGuire talks about it. Paul McGuire is going to be with us tomorrow night, the entire show. I can't wait. In fact, the if you check on YouTube and you check on BTR, the program description is up. Everything's ready to go. But he's going to be talking about a lot of things, including Babylon America, Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. Having said all that, we come to the past the Vietnam era and into today, into the past the 70s, the 80s, and now into 9/11 and beyond. Well, 9/11 gave birth to the National Defense Authorization Act, or the Patriot Act, I should say, more appropriately, the Patriot Act. And the Patriot Act, what that happened, everybody was fine with that, basically. Not, I shouldn't say everybody, but most of the people were, oh, everything's fine, you know, we got to get the terrorists.
In the face of what the biggest tragedy of our time,
right?
People were mentally paralyzed and did not understand.
And you can see, too, like, for example, various websites reporting on, and you go back to 2011. This is after Obama's been in there a couple of years. And New York Times decides, hey, you know what? We're going to sue the U.S. government for refusing to divulge exactly how law enforcement interprets the Patriot Act. Now, this Patriot Act, though. And they filed a series of Freedom of Information Act requests, which were ultimately denied, saying, you know, none of your business. Of course, you know, Freedom of Information Act, as some journalists, you know, the sun rises and sets on an FOIA.
Well, all with right, the most transparent administration in the history of the government, I don't see why it'd be a problem.
Well, no one, because no one ever lies, you see. The government never says, hey, nothing's here, when in fact, you know, it's, like I said, but that's a topic for another day.
With but, us.
Is she here already?
Yeah.
Very good.
If you want to finish your...
Well, the bottom line is this. We have it on authority. We have done a lot of research. And we're going to put this aside. But, folks, understand this. The redefinition of the media, the redefinition of the enemies of the state, the redefinition of problems that will land people like us in jail or in detention or shut up for good are being defined as we speak, and we are now entering into a new phase. So,
and
there we go.
If I can just end with this sentence, Eric and I listened to a David Wilkerson sermon from 1973, where it was almost like he was living in today's world, reading the headlines to us back then, and it dealt with the Christian media, dealt with the alternative media, the church, the homosexual agenda, all of it. If you get a chance to listen to it, check it out. With that, Sheila Zelinsky of The Weekend Vigilante. Sheila, are you with us?
Hey, Doug and Joe, great to be on your program tonight.
Man, you sound like you're in the next office here. How are you? It's great to have you.
Thank you. Good to be on. There's so much going on. We're kind of getting the kitchen sink thrown at us, aren't we, Doug and Joe?
Yeah, but I duck. See, when something like that's thrown at me, I'm able to duck, and then that avoids the injuries and blood. But however, you're right, Sheila. Thanks for coming on with us, and folks, Sheila is an extraordinary researcher. She's an extraordinary talk show host. She is a good friend of the show. She's a good researcher. She's a good, man. She visit her website, okay, and listen to her
yes.
programs and read her new book. The Green Gospel. I mean, you folks, anyway, Sheila, thanks so much for coming on, and we got a lot to talk about.
We do. It's been great, and especially to be back on with my old crew. I really think that, you know, one of the frightening things that's been happening, and it's, of course, crickets chirping, if you notice, that no one's talking about Scalia and this entire, what I believe is really an occult conspiracy. And I said on my program last week, February 13th was the day that justice died in America. And I really meant that, because murder really, Doug and Joe, it is the order of the day when you oppose this regime, isn't it? It was really funny because I was supposed to be in Nashville, the Opryville NRB, where I was supposed to be, but I have a proxy rep going there. And it's funny because Rick Wiles, I don't know if you guys caught this, he did a show with some clown, Alan Combs. I don't know if anybody caught
that.
This,
yeah, I saw that.
I mean, nothing to see here, you conspiracy kooks. It's amazing, isn't it, how we get written off as tinfoil hat kooks and nothing to see here. It was just, the man had health problems, let's face it. That's really what they're, you know, they're really promulgating that idea that, hey, the guy was in his 70s, give him a break, he had health issues, nothing to see here. The pillow over his head isn't a clue. You know, that's when I knew it was a signature style Illuminati murder right in plain sight. I mean, everyone that is opposing this system is really at risk, including you, Doug, and Joe, and myself, because we put our life on the line every day. Look at Breitbart, what happened when he was about to expose Obama. So we, I mean, Tom Clancy, another example. So we see over and over this plethora of events that get people killed for talking. You've got Donald Trump out there talking about auditing the Fed, ending the Fed. I mean, that's what, that might get him JFK'd, Doug and Joe.
Exactly. And you know what, Sheila, I did a 27-minute video. I did two videos, but one, the last one was 27 minutes, and you can find it, folks, on our official YouTube channel. And I laid it all out. I laid out the evidence, when I say evidence as we know it to be based on my contact with a TV source, anchor, or a reporter in Texas.
Yeah, there's stuff you don't hear or won't read in any publication.
But the reason I mention that is I got over 100, count them, 100 emails saying, "You ignorant fool."
Wow.
To me. Okay. "You are some sick puppy looking for a conspiracy. The guy is 79. Leave him alone." And I looked some of these up. These are from conservatives and a couple of Christians, but conservatives. What the heck's wrong with people?
Well, one guy told me today, "Zelensky, put your Bible down and go see a qualified medical specialist, preferably a shrink." So there you go. What's wrong with us, Doug?
Well, I'll tell you what. We'd do it on the buddy system. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, there's just so many inconsistencies. We are being told lie after lie in the Scalia case, out of character actions by medical, no medical staff, covering up a crime scene. That's what I think. The family not insisting on an not proper autopsy. That's bizarre. There's clear threatening going on. You've got a coroner report over the phone. Give me a break. I mean, can you spell classic cover-up here, Doug and Joe? And the first witness, interestingly, it was reported in one of the Texas papers that he was beat red. You don't go beat red when you have a heart attack. Any doctor, nurse, or medical staff listening tonight knows that you wouldn't be lit up like a, you know, Rudolph's nose. That's either a poisoning, could be a microwave weapon. You know, this was in Texas. It was kind of this very, you know, this kind of ominous place. It was, you know, no bodyguards, no Secret Service style guarding. How does a guy shake off the guards and these Secret Service style appointments? There's so many bizarre pieces to this, really, Doug and Joe.
Well, I'll tell you, can we compare notes here? Let's compare notes. From one investigator to another. And I characterize Sheila Zelensky as an investigator.
I just want to add this. It's interesting how the conspiracy talk has become the story more so than the investigation and the lack of following the standard operating procedures and the law of Texas. I mean, we're being called conspiracy theorists because we ask the government or the local municipalities to follow the standard laws when dealing with death, especially suspicious deaths.
Well, but exactly.
You know,
and the actual story becomes a conspiracy, or the conspiracy story becomes the story itself. All right. Well, let's consider you sworn in, brought to the bench, or brought to the witness stand, and us too. Or we're around we're giving a deposition, all of us, and we're all sworn in. Okay, so it's an inquest. So here's what very quickly, let's establish the location of death, ostensibly at the Cibolo Creek Ranch in Texas, about 3.5 hours south of El Paso, just north of the Mexican-American border, a place owned by John Poindexter, who is a great big Obama supporter and donor. Yeah. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right.
Great
you
big.
Okay. You want to go now?
Well, what's interesting, I mean, imagine you have this hotel in your town and you find a dead guy. What would management typically do there? Wouldn't you call 911? Wouldn't you call some medics, police, maybe a county coroner? What is the protocol for a dead Supreme Court judge? The thing that's so incredible about this story is apparently, okay, so let's piece this together. He apparently waived the U.S. Marshals, so no federal law officers. He was traveling alone. That's uncanny. This guy's a staunch Catholic. He's got 9 children. So this family trip, we can say, fell apart because I guess his son was supposed to come. He very seldom travels alone. He's usually with his wife. So he went alone without bodyguards. I mean, what does it take to... I mean, if Obama was going to go for a walk down the street tonight, you think he'd go, well, guys, I don't need any bodyguards. I'm good. I mean, that's not how this works. And I just ask, has anyone actually drilled down deep into the truth of this? Because there's so many weird reports. There's no medics. You know what? They just... Well, apparently they contacted one judge, and the judge said, oh, I'm busy. I thought it was kind of a Mexican immigrant. I mean, can you believe that?
Yeah, there were actually three attempts. Okay, the information I got from my reporter in Texas, there were three calls made.
Yeah, but this one,
to the judges.
But that's the point. The first judge wrote this dismissal to like come and look, and it's like, oh, the judge is dead. You need an autopsy. Well, I'm tied up, whatever, PVRing X-Files. I mean, he's got obviously clearly better things to do. These guys were ignoring it on purpose. I believe this was a mop-up crew. Apparently, so let's put this into perspective. So, no autopsy. This is so nefarious. I don't buy any of that. No autopsy? Are you kidding me? What did they look at him and go, oh, clearly he's bright red, has a pillow. Clearly, it is nothing nefarious. So, nothing to see.
They're in violation of Title I of the Crimes Code of Texas, Section 49, Subchapter A, and to be precise.
Well, to be precise, they're probably violating many, many medical types of, I mean, there's got to be some kind of handbook. I'm no coroner, but doesn't the county coroner have to come out and inspect the body? It's so incredibly bizarre. And then you have these U.S. Marshals flying by in a helicopter. They finally showed up after he's dead. You know, maybe they should have picked up the, you know, one of these judges to go have a look. What do? You just say, well, you know, the manager at this place is calling and saying, oh, he's clearly dead. That guy's not a doctor. He's not a coroner. He's not a medic. It's just there's so many bizarre signature telltale signs here. And who goes to bed with a pillow over their head, Doug?
Well, yeah. They didn't kick him when he moved. That's how they decided he was dead, apparently. And I don't mean to make light of it because it's not funny. But no, no, you're exactly
right. Obama to joke about it.
Yeah. What's that?
We'll leave Obama to joke about
there
it.
There we go. That's right. That isn't bad taste. I just put myself in a timeout, Sheila.
But Sheila, you made a good point, you know, that from the security not being there to where he was and the events of the day. I wonder how much of this was almost arranged, as you alluded to. You know, maybe he was invited there and security was coming and they told him, oh, you're not going to need security. This is a huge secluded place. It's just us. Or, I mean, I wonder who invited him, why, and then the series of events that led to where we are today.
Well, he went quail hunting, didn't he, Sheila?
As an observer
the day before, correct?
That is correct, yes. Yes, he did go hunting.
Wow.
Okay. But what's interesting is, you know, I always think about occult connections, too, and of course, I write a little bit about that in my book. I don't get into that as much as Steve Quayle really hammers the Nazi occult. I mean, this is the same group of people. It's the same group of shadow government called the Illuminati, the Freemasons. Everybody has their different, you know, pick of the week on what they're going to call these guys, Freemasons, Illuminati, whatever you want to call this regime, this shadowy Luciferian, I call them the Royal Bloodline Illuminati Luciferian Elite, but that's a bit of a mouthful. But one of the things that's interesting is, especially this time of year, I found this just so interesting, is that when you look at that, have you guys heard of a fertility? It's kind of a very pagan Roman fertility. Well, what it is, it's a kind of a fertility dance / festival, and it's called Luperci. It's actually, if people want to grab a pen, I'm going to spell that. I want people to look up this holiday because it starts on the day, guess what? It starts February 13th.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Is this around the same time that Earth Day happens, or is that
no,
in
no,
April?
No,
that's no. Well, Earth Day is every day, isn't it, according to Al Gore?
and according to Green Gospel, you point this out. A great book, by the way. Okay, spell that again, because I heard about this, and for some whatever reason, I didn't get a chance to really get into the intricacies of this.
Okay, so what? Now, just before, I want to pre-qualify this. So what it was, now, the Pope is even involved in this, so I did some research on this. Now, I want people to spell this. L-U-P-E-R-C-A-L-I-A. Now, what it is, it's, again, it's a kind of this pagan festival of the Lupercalia, which, according to many writers, Doug and Joe, was originally celebrated by shepherds, but it has connection to Arcadian fertility ceremonies where these young lads of nobility and many of the magistrates, they run up and down through the city naked and they strike those they meet with these big thick thongs of hide. So they just kind of knock you out with a piece of some type of animal hide. We're thinking maybe wolf. Now, what's interesting about it though is this Lupercalia, it's this very ancient, possibly pre-Roman, I'm thinking a pastoral festival in honor of Lupercus. Now, you know, somebody can correct me. I'm not good. Hey, Doug, you took Latin. How would you pronounce that L-U-P-E-R-C-I? How do you say that? Anyway, it's probably
Lupercia?
Yes, it's very similar to that, I believe.
Okay, all right. I don't know. It's been
so
30
it's,
years.
And Valentine's Day, they say, is linked into this. So that February 13th, the 14th, there's a huge occult connection in that. And so you look at these pagan priests of the fertility, and you kind of start tying the occult pieces around the numerology. And Rick Wiles did, again, bring up a really good connection about the 44th day of the year, which was interesting. So I thought right. That was interesting. But the Lupercal is kind of this she-wolf, wolf goddess. There's that word that circulates all the time again, goddess. So a she-wolf goddess, and that's who they, apparently they would get these big, you know, thongs of wolf hide and slap people around with these things. Now, why are you running around naked? I mean, who knows why these very pagan Luciferians run around, and what are they doing out at Bohemian Grove? It sounds very similar, doesn't it?
Indeed it does, and that Bohemian Grove, one thing I do know traces back or has some ties into the, of course, Franklin cover-up and the men of the Franklin cover-up and the pedophilia.
Ancient mystery religious worship of idolatry and in the groves, you know, to their own gods, as the Bible states in the Old Testament.
Yeah, in the larger sense, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like a kind of Roman rituals of purification and fertility. And I mean, that dates back to first century BCE. And so when you think, I mean, we can take this all the way back to Nimrod. You get into the Edomites, the Amorites, the worship of Baal. It's the same, you know, it's kind of this same theme. It's central to this ritual is the light flogging again with wolf or goat skin. But what's interesting, the word goat caught my eye in this when they said wolf and goat goddess, because it's interesting to note, Doug and Joe, that in his youth while attending architectural school in Vienna in 1908, Hitler wrote a play about a wolf, and it was talking about religious sacrifice centering on the differences between Christianity and German paganism and human sacrifice and his bloodlust for the occult. Steve talks about that in his book, The Empire Beneath the Ice. He gets into the occult connection, the Vrule, V-R-U-L-E. He gets into the Theosophy, which, of course, you and Joe know a lot about. You know, we talk about Alice Bailey, who wrote the 24 volumes of the occult. She was big into Theosophy. The United Nations are basically Theosophy central. I mean, that is just, I have a new word, I can't say it on air. So, but United Nations is a pure devilish organization. But after the SS tore down the Treblinka, Hitler insisted on planting wolf flowers. They're these lupine wildflowers called wolf flowers. And they were planted on the remains, get this, of the Jewish victims where almost 759,000 people were murdered. And of course, we know the word Holocaust there is, that means whole burnt offering. And Hitler called his SS his pack of wolves. He kind of, you know, imagined himself as very hungry Uncle Wolf who would purge the German herd of the week for the sake of its future eugenic health. And get this date, and this is what I found so fascinating. On February 13th, 1943, so there's that date, February 13th, some 43,000 Jews were gathered, shot, and killed from various camps in Poland, and this concluded Operation Reinhardt, of course, that virtually exterminated Polish Jewry. And so the SS called this final action Harvest Festival. Well, that's what this February 13th pagan holiday is all about, a Nazi occult connection Harvest Festival. And it's so incredible that the SS letters themselves were iconically styled after sort of the head of this Harvest Festival. He's a nature mystic called Guido von Liest, and he promoted pan-German nature mysticism called Ariosophy, and people can look that up. It's Wisdom of the Aryans. And so, interestingly, it was kind of this fusion of, you know, a Paul, sort of like Norse mythology, racism, evolution, eugenics, paganism. If you combine all that, that's what you would get. So it was really, I think, National Socialism. It's important for people to know it was really an ancient fertility cult brought up to date under the scientific guise of eugenics, where people were to be sacrificed for the fecundity of nature. Isn't that frightening?
Indeed it is. Now, and of course, the significance of that date relative to Scalia, date of death, correct? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Absolutely. So again, you know, lie after lie, nothing to see here. If anybody jumps on a search engine and types in, you know, just type in Justice Scalia, oh, the poor guy, you know, his ticker was, it was just a matter of time. It was, he was 1 foot in a banana peel and 1 foot in a grave. That's basically what they're saying. It's just absolutely stunning that we're supposed to just buy the narrative, Doug and Joe.
And, you know, were there any reports that he had, you know, medicine on him, like nitrous or heart medication, or, you know, things indicating that he was, you know, currently being treated for these conditions? He obviously wasn't traveling with a doctor or felt the need that he had to be checked in on as, you know.
Well, I grew up hunting. I mean, my dad's a hunter. And I'll tell you right now, you got to be in pretty good shape to go, you know, backpacking through the woods with, you know, guns and, you know, staking out there all night. I mean, come on. Like, if this guy was really at risk, do you think he'd be off on some big, long, you know, couple-day hunting trip? I don't buy that. You know, it's almost like Stalin and Hitler style, because their message was always, hey, don't mess with us. I think it's a signature Luciferian death myself. I mean, look at this not even so clandestine cabal, whatever you want to call this, the regime of the day. You know, it's like, if you mess with us, this is what happens. I think it's safe to say they're sending us a strong message. I mean, this guy was really voting on some very important issues, Doug and Joe, and I think they just decided, no, we're done. So, yeah. I mean, who are you going to appoint to that seat? I mean, what is your take, Doug, on what you think they're going to do with that appointment now? I mean, I have some ideas, but I think any level of Obama appointing some, look at Loretta Lynch Mob, that appointment. I mean, the people that he puts into place, you have all these absolutely treasonous shenanigans. I think every one of these people should be strung up in town square and literally charged for high treason. Every single one of them, from, you know, Hillary Clinton, I call her Mao Zedong in a skirt, to Lynch Mob, all these people, they should be strung up. And that's a strong, bold statement to say. But why do you think we have treason laws, Doug?
Well, you're right. Exactly. And you are so right. Folks, I mean, right on the money with this. Now, but to answer your question, I mean, the Supreme Court, this term, looking at 35 cases, and of the 35 cases, we have about seven that are big cases that include immigration, that include the globalist agenda of climate control as well, and climate change, whatever you want to call that. And then, of course, the Second Amendment coming up, but you've got one person, one vote. You've got, I'm just going through the list of the really important ones. I mean, you know, so you've got some very important deciding factors for this term, this court, this Supreme Court. And And frankly,
if history is any guide to, you know, how things get screwed up and people screw them up in our government, like 9/11, for example, nobody was fired. A lot of people got promoted. Maybe Hillary will become Pope. The Pope will become the new UN Secretary General, and Obama will be the new Supreme Court Justice. For all I know, you know, everybody will get a promotion.
I don't think that'd be the case. But you know, I can see where you mentioned Loretta Lynch mob. You know, Loretta Lynch obviously would be favored over Holder. Holder's got too much baggage in the personal department, and just so people know, and it, permit me to do this. Sheila, just so people know, for example, the process of selecting a Supreme Court justice goes back to 1789. But the bottom line is, the person in the Oval Office selects someone. They fill out forms, personal forms, financial forms. They get submitted to the FBI. The FBI looks everything over, reports to the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee. That's comprised of 18 senators. The committee goes over the information. They grill the witness, or they question, I shouldn't say grill, they question the nominee. And they're allowed to bring in witnesses pro and anti or for and against the nominee. And regardless of the vote, then it goes to the regular Senate for a vote. And a simple majority of 51 can, in fact, confirm or reject the nominee. If the nominee is confirmed, then of course that person sits on the court for life, and if they're rejected, then the process starts all over again. So
Loretta Lynch was one of the only names I saw mentioned in mainstream news articles as a possibility right after it happened, for whatever that's
worth. And there's some DC circuit court judges as well, including Cerise Rivens
the same gal here, folks got to know that this is the same Loretta Lynch, attorney general, that said, oh, we're not going to put up with any talk against Muslims. We like them flooding into our country. That's what she should have said. We like the fact that they can vote. We like the fact that, you know, we have all these Muslims flooding into our country. And here's the thing I don't understand, and this was so interesting. David Lankford said this, quote, and it was very astute, because David Barton said, we're just one Supreme Court justice away from, well, I'm paraphrasing, but basically a total meltdown. And I mean, here's the thing, has anyone actually looked into, you know, how many days have gone by since that, like, what, 10, 11 days have gone by since his death? And again, it's so not being talked about in the mainstream media. Nothing to see here, guy had a heart problem. You know, nothing to see here. And what about the evangelifish pastors? Those spineless weasels, what are they doing? This guy was a staunch Catholic. You know, I'm really not a fan of arguing about it anymore, because I mean, I think there's a big difference. I think there's wonderful, amazing, incredible, wonderful, and I mean wonderful Catholics out there that don't understand the system that they're in. And I think that God will overlook a lot of things. And it's not a salvation issue, but I think God gives us a lot of grace even when we miss the mark on, you know, if we grow up a Catholic, well, you know, is that the person's fault that they were inundated with this stuff? And it's no slight to your Catholic listeners, Doug, but here's a guy who's a staunch Catholic. He's staunchly pro-life. He's come against look at the NRA. He was the only hope. The Second Amendment is now at risk. The balance of power shifted because he was a major major supporter of pro-life. That was it. I mean, he went against carbon taxes. He went against the gay marriage issue. So all the big issues, you know, that's it.
What about Obamacare?
He was anti-Vatican II, by the way. I mean, so but, anti-Vatican II that, yeah, I just want to mention that.
Do either of you know his Obamacare?
Oh, go ahead, Joe.
What was his Obamacare opinion, if you guys
know? Did you read his dissent?
No, I didn't. That's what I asked. I mean, I knew Roberts was
comments
the one vote.
Well, I know that he scolded good old Nancy Pelosi there when she was, oh, let's just pass it and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's just pass Obamacare and then we'll figure it out. He was not a fan of her, so I'm assuming he was pretty anti-Obamacare.
Yeah, his writings, I mischaracterized it, were extremely extremely anti-Obamacare. Look at the Obergefell decision as well, the scathing rebuke by Scalia. And Scalia would have been the roadblock, or could have been, would have been the roadblock in the immigration and in the in all of these large issues.
The big one was the Second Amendment, of course.
Correct.
Well, what Second Amendment, I guess? I mean, it's almost like Obama says, how many more false flags do we have to perpetrate to get you to give up your guns? And people say I'm horrible for saying that, but I truly believe this. I truly believe the man is just, I mean, it's just massive false flags. It's a fascist dictatorship. You know, it's really like 1935 Nazi Germany. Anyone who opposed Hitler, they were whacked. So they're kind of gearing us for this complete destruction of what was formerly the USA. I call it the United States of China, but that's a whole other show. But I mean, whether you got the standoff in Burns, anyone going against the BLM, the EPA, the FDA, any of these alphabet soup gangs, I mean, I think it's going to take a move of God, the power of God, even beyond the Book of Acts. On the highways, the byways, the airways, you name it, the tares do grow up with the wheat. But I think the harvesting angels will deal with that pretty soon. And I've done some recent shows, Doug and Joe, on the spirit of death and the spirit of Antichrist. And that's what has befallen our nation. I really believe that we're now under this ubiquitous spirit of death, this spirit of Antichrist. Anything against Jesus Christ is Antichrist. So, you know, mm-hmm. Pick your choice. We've got Chrislam. How are these people in the, I call them the pew-cladded plebeians out there at Howdy Doody's Houston Lucreland, how are they putting up with this? How are the Christians in America, why is it crickets chirping on all of this?
Because it's not Christians.
The silence is deafening, I'll tell you that much.
You know, we have to get a book going of Sheila-isms now. I just love your delivery. But you're so right. Your descriptions are so right on the money. Where in the world, Sheila, I really want to stand back and go ahead and continue. You're so articulate and you're so right on the money. We've got about 3 minutes until the top of the hour, and I'm so glad you're with us, because this is exactly what we need right now. But just
if you can continue with the church thoughts, because yeah. I just said something that I probably should take back. I said they're not Christians, but we know that in the Bible they do say that Christians can be indifferent.
It's funny because I have to say I love this show with I did a show a couple months ago with Chris Putnam, and it's up on my YouTube channel. If you go to weekendvigilante.com and click up on the right, go listen to it. Chris Putnam was so on fire that night. He was right on the money. It was stunning that ended up being my number one viewer's choice for 2015. But I mean, we just covered so much, and it was so unscripted and so just having a conversation. I'll tell you, that was a good show. But he said something on there that was so profound. He said, he was talking about, you know, Catholicism and Catholics and, you know, the fact that you've got these very nefarious players, the Pope, you know, running around last week trying to implement this one world religion. And if people think that's, oh, come on, Sheila, one world religion, that's a fact, Doug and Joe. He wants to bring together all the major religions of the world to uniformly develop a one world global religion. I mean, is that?
Yeah. There's a constitution for the World Council of Churches that has been established years ago.
That's right.
This is part of a UN initiative, part of the Lucifer Trust, new Gaia worship, spirituality, invocation of Lucifer, bringing in the mindset and the false or the Antichrist, the false Jesus, who he said that people would accept because they did not accept him. We see the Chrislam emerging of the doctrines and the ideologies and religions, to the point where a person of a Christian belief who has a Bible is willing to change the words and the chapters and what it says in that Bible That is a very dangerous thing.
You know what? Hold on, Sheila, because we're at the top of the hour. Folks, go to weekendvigilante.com. You know what would do my heart really good? Sheila is, of course, on the right-hand side of her page. It's a fundraiser. Her goal is 80% met. Wouldn't it be great in the next 20 minutes, half hour, if we could finish that 20% of our fundraiser? That'd be great. Folks, we're right back. Hagman and Hagman Report. Stay right where you are.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.